Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Andre, we bought a new truck
again. We're so fortunate.
We are.
Yes.
And actually, we're buying it tomorrow. But when you're listening to this, we will be the proud owners of what, Andre?
A refreshed, brand new 2025 Ford Maverick, but not just any Maverick.
No, it's an eruption green.
Yes, it's very green. It also has a new face. But it's also a hybrid all-wheel drive.
Yeah, that's how we bought it, because we wanted to get a truck that has both. For the longest time, you could get an Escape, which the Maverick is based on, in a hybrid all-wheel drive.
Exactly.
But you couldn't get the Maverick in the hybrid and all-wheel drive. And the reason we want the hybrid is because it gets, get this, something like 40 mpg.
In the city, at least.
And like combined, yes. I think it's 34. It's a big number.
It's a really, really good efficiency. And Ford updated a lot of the components of the Maverick, right? And they're offering it with all-wheel drive, except there's a catch.
Okay, what's the catch?
Well, there's no Tremor hybrid all-wheel drive, and there's no FX4 hybrid all-wheel drive.
So we can't get the skid plate. We can't get the...
higher suspension.
And we have a CVT.
Yes, but all of them have, all hybrids have CVTs.
Right, but that's not great for off-roading, right? The non-CVT has a regular torque converter.
Exactly. So we'll have to test it. That's why we're buying it.
Yeah, and guys, this might be a good lesson for all of us, because we had good intentions. I should say Andre had good intentions.
What?
So the idea was we were going to buy the base all-wheel drive Maverick.
Yes.
With the hybrid. And as you remember,
so like XL, Steelies, all-wheel drive.
And as you remember,
hybrid.
When the Maverick first came out, it was $19,000.
It was $19,999.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's not for the all-wheel drive.
No, front-wheel drive.
So how much is just an XL, Steely base all-wheel drive hybrid?
It's just under like 30K. It's pushing 30K now.
So that was our intention.
Yes.
And then I ran into Andre's office a number of times.
With your hair on fire for some reason. Actually, your hair wasn't on fire. But you were saying, well, there's a couple of comments. First of all, you and Tommy were discussing this, right?
Well, so the plan was that Tommy was going to buy this thing.
Yes.
And then give it to his lovely wife.
I mean, after we were done with
after
it.
After we were done with it. The problem was that Tommy now leased a free Fiat 500e for
his wife is driving.
So they don't need the Maverick anymore. But he said that she desperately wanted heated seats and a heated steering wheel.
Okay. So that was a challenge, because that costs money. And not just like simple money. You know, you have to add packages on top of several packages.
So to get that, I think we had to get the luxury package, right?
Yes.
Which was over $2,000.
Yeah, so, and we also have a towing package, which gives you 4,000 pounds of towing.
So now we're at 32,000.
Yes.
The towing package, I think, is 750.
Yes.
So now we're at $33,000. And somehow things got way out of hand, where the cheapest truck in America turned out not to be so cheap.
Became 36,000.
Yeah, how did we get to 36,000? Well, part of that is Ford also does like a $1,495 destination.
Yeah, the destination charge is not cheap.
No.
And it should be included in the price.
Yeah, yeah.
Straight up.
So, and then we also got the hybrid all-wheel drive, right? That was like package 301A or something.
Yeah.
So, of course, I thought that the regular XL was pretty dour, you know, kind of boring inside.
Well, very monochromatic interior.
Not good for video.
Very simple, yes.
So then we had to spruce that up, and that cost money. And then, of course, when you spruce that up, you go from the regular non-power seats, the eight-way power seats, right?
Yes.
So we have power seats on ours on the driver's side only, because that's how Ford rolls.
And it has cruise control.
And we got cruise control, and we got Pilot, what, Ford Pilot 360, whatever the heck they call it.
Yeah, Co-Pilot.
So we got Ford Co-Pilot 360, which has all of the ADAS stuff. And it just got it just somehow we lost the plot, Andre. So I feel bad about that.
But we ended up with actually a great config.
Do you have a sticker on that?
Yeah, let me. I'm pulling it up right now.
Okay, tell them what
we actually got. A very well, first of all, really cool color.
Oh, dude, it's 37 combined. It's 33 on 30. It's 40 in the city, 34 on the highway, 37 combined.
37 MPG combined.
I sit corrected.
It's really good stuff. So the hybrid front wheel drive. In order to get the all wheel drive, you have to pay $2,200 straight up. Like you said, $750 for the towing pack, which includes a brake controller, by the way. So we already.
Is it really?
Yes. Sweet. In a miniature truck.
Sweet. How much does it tow?
4,000 pounds, which is not a lot.
Yeah, it's like a side by side.
Side by side. We'll do an Ike. Yeah. We'll do an Ike gauntlet with it.
Yeah.
Now,
a mini Ike.
Mini Ike. XLT luxury package, including the power seats with heated seats and heated steering wheel. That's $1,900, my friend.
Oh, they get you by the, you know what, when you want the heated stuff.
By the butt.
They get you by. I was going to say short hairs, but sure, they get you by the butt.
Copilot 360 is $795.
Okay. How much is destination? Did I get that right or did I get that wrong?
$1,595.
I missed it. I said $1,495.
Yeah, it's actually more expensive than you thought.
Wait, how hard can it be to get
a truck? But it's built in Mexico.
I was going to say from Mexico to Colorado. Apparently $1,600 worth.
Yes. It's on a train.
Yeah.
It was on a train for a long time.
It was.
So that's how you get from $27,000 or $26,000. That's how you become, you know, we have...
Make me feel better. Read me some other options up there. What else? What other goodies do we have?
Well, we have navy pier interior.
Sweet.
Which is multicolor interior.
So we have a green exterior and a blue interior. That's a bold choice there, Andre.
Bold move.
Bold move, yeah.
Yes.
We forgot the most important part.
Bedliner.
Yes.
We don't have it. Well, you know what? I was really scared because usually bedliners slow down the build.
Yeah, I think Tim figured that out. Sorry, Tim. Our friend Tim didn't get his RHO.
Well, Tim is still waiting for his RAM, which is actually quite absurd. I mean, the truck was unveiled, 8 months ago or something?
Yeah, obviously for tax purposes, we're trying to get this before the end of the year.
Yes.
And we're going to accomplish that. We're going to get it by the whisker, Andre, by the whisker tomorrow.
The day before,
yeah.
So we do have a larger screen.
Yeah.
You know, the interior has been redesigned. We have new headlamps. It should, dude. I'm pretty happy. I mean, even at $36,000, which is the sticker price here, you know, should we wheel and deal?
Should we wheel and deal? It's a hot commodity. What, are we gonna come in there?
We're first
and say we want more. So get this. Well, hold on. Here's the headline for the story, and this is the part where I think we're gonna get a lot of guff. So Zach wrote the headline for the story because we haven't told you the full story yet.
Let's tell him the full story.
Yeah, I'll give him the headline first as soon as I find it here. Hold on. The headline is, we traded our 94-year-old Ford for a brand new one. So guess what 94-year-old Ford we traded?
1931 Ford Model A.
Pickup. The beautiful red one we bought earlier this year.
Yeah.
Which, you know, look, in the long run, the one that's going to have a lot more value is that 1931 Model A Ford. Right, it's beautiful. It's completely restored, but
it's running and driving.
Yeah, but the reason we're trading it in is because it's so nice that it's almost too nice for us. Right, we can't really go and get it dirty.
Can't throw stuff in the bed.
We can't get it in harm's way. And what the dealership is going to do, I suspect, is they're going to put it on display. So other people will get to enjoy it. It's just sitting in our barn right now. Now, Tommy's really bummed about it. And I was talking to Tommy, and I was like, you know, at least now people will get a chance to, like, poke at it and open it.
Plus, we can visit it.
Yeah.
We can go visit.
Yeah, it's a beautiful truck, but our business isn't – we're not a museum. We don't collect trucks. We do videos, and then we move on. So that's a tough pill to swallow. But, you know, I mean, with the Maverick, we're going to, like you said, get the tow with it. I think we'll throw on some off-road tires.
Well, we can try to go on easy trails. I mean, it doesn't have a lot of ground clearance,
right.
But at least we could try some trails.
Denver 100?
Yes, efficiency. We've got to confirm that.
Yeah, compare it to maybe a Ridgeline, yes?
Yeah, or anything we can imagine, yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I think it's a shame that the 1931 had to go, but every time I saw it in the barn, sitting there doing nothing, I just thought to myself,
also, yeah, that's also not cool.
That's not cool. We also we still have a Model T pickup truck and a Model T. So don't worry, we have plenty of old Fords. what are you most excited about? I think I'm most excited about the fact that this is actually a relatively affordable truck in the way the trucks used to be. And I know Maverick is considered a compact truck, but it's not that small, Andre. We sat in it, and me and you are big boys, and we both fit.
You know, it's almost seat. Like a Ranger-sized interior.
Yeah.
The interior is like Ranger-sized. It's actually quite remarkable. The bed is shorter, right? The bed is not quite as big as like a Ford Ranger or a Tacoma bed. But, dude, I'm psyched that because, you know, we live in Colorado. It's very unpredictable. The weather can change, you know, hour by the hour. All-wheel drive is really necessary, you know, in a lot of situations. So I'm really excited about, you know, we can do a snowy video with it too. Oh, Tommy was going to roller test it.
Yeah, we'll put on the roller, see how it does, see how the Ford system does. The other thing I'm thinking about doing is my best friend and I, Steve, we're going to do a romantic trip down the coast.
Whoa.
Come, I think, March. So we're going to drive from Seattle down to San Diego.
A friendly.
Well, it's very romantic. Trip. Yeah, friend trip.
Okay.
Yeah, we're both married.
Not to each other.
Not to each
other. Okay.
No. But that is a very romantic kind of drive down the PCH. We're not going to be sharing rooms if that's what you're talking about. We're just going to be enjoying, you know, I met him in college and we haven't really had a chance to spend a lot of time together because he lives in Illinois. So he's never actually seen that part of the country. You know, me and you've been to Portland and Seattle a bunch.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun to actually.
So the Redwood Forest,
yeah,
all that stuff.
Yeah, and my wife doesn't want to go, so you know she's not a car trip person. You know, some people are car trip people, road trip people. She's not. Yeah. She likes to fly places.
Uh-huh.
And so that might be a good truck to take on that road trip. It's comfortable. You know, it's not too ostentatious.
I have one requirement.
Yeah,
if you take it.
Yeah.
Can you get that picture where you drive through one of the trees?
That truck could do it.
It could drive through a tree.
It's a Silverado HD we have. Ain't gonna drive through a tree.
It's too big.
It's too big.
Yeah.
And then let's face it, I could also take the Ranger Raptor, but that's, even though it's relatively fuel efficient, it does like 20 on the highway. This does, did you see that?
At 30? Least 34.
Yeah. Yeah. So
maybe better. Maybe even better.
Yeah. I'm super psyched. Yeah. And it's got, you know, got the back seat where you could throw all the crap in there. Like I say, Like if you're out there trying to rip somebody off when the truck is parked on the road, this is not the truck that you're going to be like looking for as having the, you know, the expensive jewelry in it.
No, it's still a very simple truck. It's under, you know, 40,000 for sure. It's 36.
By the way, do you own any expensive jewelry?
My wife has some jewelry, super expensive.
I don't have any expensive jewelry.
No, I have nothing. I have my wedding ring.
I have my wedding ring, which is I have this. This medical steel ring over here, and then I have this Apple Watch.
No. My most valuable possessions have wheels on them.
Yeah, and then I have this thing. I don't think that's very valuable, these beads that I wear because Jeremy Clarkson wears them, so I thought I would look cool wearing them.
Huh.
I don't know if I look cool.
I don't know. Did you notice
the beads?
No, not very.
Beads are in, Andre.
But if all my valuables are probably vehicles.
Yeah, exactly.
The stuff that has wheels.
A VA Buhanka.
Yeah, we'll talk about it in the show.
We'll get it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on and talk about a video that will be up when you're listening to this podcast exactly the same day, actually. And that is we had a really rare opportunity to drag race some of the fastest high-performance trucks in America. You want to tell them? Because I didn't do it. You went and drag raced these trucks.
Yeah. I was calling it, you know, the quest for the quickest truck in the country.
Good.
Because the quest for the quickest truck. Yes. It's a lot of fun. And we were very fortunate. By the way, we are fortunate because of listeners and viewers, because we got an email from one of our viewers who lives in Denver, and which is close to us. And he said, you know, I have a Ram TRX.
Hmm.
And he's like, I heard you had a Ram RHO. Why don't we, you know, collaborate on a video together? And we said, heck yes. And we collaborated on a video, and this was the drag race. So let me just show one of our drag race pictures here.
You can see where this is
going. Raptor R.
There it is, yes. No, that's not it.
No, that's not it. I don't have a picture.
So we had a TRX, Raptor R, RHO and a surprise truck. Is that right?
Did I get surprise that right? truck. At the very end, Tommy surprised me.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So if you want to see a surprise truck, head over to alltfl.com.
But here's the thing, Roman. When the RHO was first introduced, this is the Ram, you know, wide-body, high-performance off-road truck. They did say that it's almost as quick as the TRX. You know, they said, of course, it doesn't have as much power, but it's, you know, it's a little bit lighter. It could be almost as quick as a TRX. So we wanted to put it to the test. So... And, well, we won't say all the information, but, you know, the TRX one.
Interesting.
But then the Raptor R was facing the TRX.
Ooh. And then we won't tell you who won that. You have to watch the video. Yes. And then the winner
took another surprise truck.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to say, Andre, I think we're the only ones that are stupid enough or goofy enough to drag race trucks. But everybody, every so often you see a comment in those videos like, why are you doing this? And my answer to that question is like, you know, when they first started climbing Everest, didn't they ask one of the original, like Sir Hillary or something, why?
Yeah, why?
And he said, because it's there. I kind of feel the same way about these high performance trucks. Why wouldn't you drag race them? Because they're there.
You know, when the first vehicle race occurred,
when
there were two vehicles built.
Like right away, the first thing happened was
right,
like,
because it's like human nature. You know, you have a vehicle and I got a vehicle. Let's see who's quicker or whatever.
So the first vehicle was like Benz, like production vehicle. And then Maybach was right there. So like Benz and Maybach were like,
probably.
Hey dude.
Well, they spoke German.
Herr dude, he gates.
Let's race.
Sind Sie schnell?
You speak some German.
Ein bisschen. Anyway, they had what do those things do? Like 6 miles an hour.
Probably.
Must have been quite the drag race.
Or maybe one of them had a horse. I'm not sure.
That
so I think that's why we do this. I mean, also because it's fun. You know, it's probably not, you know, your buying decision is probably not hinged on a drag race. But I think it's a lot of fun. And we wanted to see what's the quickest truck in the country.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair headline because we did, in fact, bring a very quick truck at the end to this.
Yes.
And I won't be, I think, giving away any... Well, yeah, I would be. So I'm going to shut up right there.
Okay.
And let's face it, while these trucks are meant to go Baja racing, they have also become kind of the poster child. Look, when I was a kid, right, and you were really into cool cars, then I'm going to date myself, but like the one you'd have on your wall would be a Lamborghini Countach.
Sure.
Or, you know, a... Porsche wasn't all that hot.
Well, probably a Testarossa or something.
Yeah, I remember there was a Testarossa at my health club that I used to park next to that I was worried about that I would hit his cheese grade door.
Mm-hmm.
Porsche Turbo, right? And these are the poster trucks of this generation, right? If you're into trucks, then you're not going to have you might have a square body.
Or if you're an automotive enthusiast in general, right? And they also became status symbols, right? You know, a Raptor R is over 100,000. You know, it's over 114,000 actually. So a lot of these trucks are actually quite expensive. They're difficult to get. You have to be on a special list or you have to order one in advance. Some of them go for over sticker. So these are hard to find kind of status symbols that are quite interesting, I think.
Yeah, and I think, okay, I was just thinking to myself, and let me ask you this. If you won that $1 billion lottery or whatever that thing was recently, and you could go buy yourself a classic truck, what would you get? I'm talking classic now. I'm not talking
current.
Yeah, not current. Classic. What would you get? And I think that's a hard question because there aren't that many classic trucks. I can go through them with you.
Well, I think we discussed this in previous episodes. I'm really hot about resto mods.
No, like stuff that looks old. No, no, it's got to be a classic factory truck, not a resto mod. You have to pick one. So let's talk about the ones that are potentials. Okay.
Okay.
So Ford Lightning.
The original,
the original, not the
or maybe the second gen.
Or the second gen.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a classic old truck.
Sure.
That's got some.
We're talking about 30 years ago.
Yeah, that's got some cojones.
Yeah.
In that same vein, of course, there
was. SRT10?
Yes, exactly.
Dodge
SRT10, Ram. Which had the Viper engine.
Okay.
Or vice versa, whichever way you want to look at it.
Yes, sure.
Maybe the Viper had the truck engine. So that's pretty badass. Now, those come in automatic and manual.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with those, for a while I wanted to buy one, but because they're trucks, this is the problem with all of them, they actually get driven. So a lot of like Countaches, because they're supercars, were put away, and or people couldn't back them up, or couldn't get in and out of them, so they didn't get a lot of miles. But all these trucks are very usable, so it's very hard to find one with low miles.
Which is actually okay, because I don't want to buy a museum car that's never ran. You know, you want to buy something with low miles that's been kind of running, right? And maybe, you know, once a month doing something.
But like those SRTs I was looking at, 150, 200.
Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of miles.
Even for that truck.
You know what's hard? It's hard to find one that's not modified.
Yes.
You know,
but that's the truth with everything, yeah.
Well, yeah, but especially trucks, especially high-performance trucks. You know, maybe somebody threw a bigger supercharger on the Lightning. Maybe somebody updated. Remember one of the first dyno videos we did was an SRT10 Dodge.
Yeah.
Remember that?
I remember.
That truck was so loud. I think I lost my hearing.
It was super
for some
loud.
Time.
Yes, especially on a dyno.
Yeah.
Let's keep going though. So we've got the Ford. We've got the Dodge. Now we have, remember the little Red Express?
Yes.
That's kind of a classic truck that people
even
like.
Even further.
And then there's the first Cummins. I drove that.
First gen Cummins. Nathan and I got a chance to drive one too.
In the Dodge, right? Nick lent us one.
Yes.
So those are pretty cool. Now you
have. So like Chevy SS pickups, right? So SS 454. Yeah. That's a cool one.
Yeah. I was thinking like, what else is cool? A High Boy?
Oh, yes.
Right?
A High Boy.
Or what's the Ford that we owned with the diesel? The 7.3? Is it 7.3?
Well, that's the original Power Stroke, too.
Yeah, what are those called? Those are called... there's a name for those. The one with the wheel in the Ford.
I think some of them were called like bullnose trucks.
No. There's a first gen or first something Ford, the diesels.
There's many Ford diesels. There's IDI engines.
But there's international engines.
There's
a name that the people call those trucks. When those 7.3 diesels that we used to own, like first gen or first something. It's a three-letter abbreviation.
OBS.
OBS. Thank you, Andre. I knew you would get it. Old body style Fords. So those are cool. Square body Chevy. We own one of those, right?
Yeah.
But that's a whole bunch of Chevys. That's not just one.
But it's very cool.
That's like 15 years of Chevy trucks. What else do we got that's pretty cool in the truck world? There's the Rumble Bee.
Yeah.
Right. That was pretty cool. I think that was one that had a Hemi. And were there any early cool off-road trucks?
Well, the High Boy was definitely cool.
Yeah.
Definitely cool.
It was like a 60s, late 60s, early 70s Ford.
Yeah. I'm pulling up a picture for you.
Okay.
Because
are you going way back?
I'm kind of curious about the F1. So the F series started, you know, a long time ago. Mm-hmm. I think they're about to celebrate almost 80 years of the F series. So the F1 trucks, I think, are kind of handsome. You know, they're kind of interesting to look at. They're very valuable. Some of them can be very valuable now. But I still want something four-wheel drive, Roman.
Yeah,
like the Lightning wasn't four-wheel drive.
Yeah.
The SRT10s weren't.
You know what else is also very valuable? Those original four-wheel drive GMs. I forget what the name of the company was that built them. So GM took them and had the four-wheel drive added to them.
Yeah, because they were not from the factory.
They weren't. Right, those are also very... But those are so like... That's such a weird little niche in the evolution of trucks. And it's also, now you're way back there. I mean, I'm not old enough to appreciate those. So an F1 or an F100 means nothing to me. I wasn't around when those things were cool. Same thing with the old Chevys, wasn't around. So those things just don't resonate with me. I'm talking like trucks in the 70s, 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm. So out of the trucks that we named, and if we've forgotten some, and I'm sure we have, let us know in the comments because we read our comments. Love to know. But I think the one that I would want the most is the SRT10. Oh, Typhoon and...
Yeah, but...
What was the truck? Was the truck the Typhoon?
And Cyclone.
Cyclone, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They were there too. Let me pull up a Dodge Ram SRT10 just here.
I think that would be the one that I would lust after.
But which one? Would you want the manual? Would you want four doors? Or would you want
two doors? Two-door manual. Easy peasy.
One of these.
Yeah,
so
two-door manual.
Let me pull up something like this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow. Two-wheel drive.
Yeah, well, of course.
Very hard to hook up. I mean, there's not a lot of weight on the bed.
And you know, now that it's, 15 years since the original Raptor came out?
Or yeah.
Maybe not quite 15.
First-gen Raptor.
First-gen Raptors might start become collectible. Remember there was the 6.2 and the 5.3? Was that a 5.3?
The 5.4.
5.4. Those are going to be really rare because...
Well, the 6.2 is a desirable one. It's more powerful, obviously. Yeah.
But they sold a lot more of those than the original.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what?
How about a first-gen Lightning?
The SRT...
Yeah.
First gen Lightning, gosh, I don't have a lot of
I think the second gen's actually better.
The second gen I like a little bit more.
Yeah, the first gens are pretty slow.
Let me look up a second gen Lightning, and I think that may be my choice because I remember going to the drag strip, run with your brung, and you would see at least one Lightning there, and I think that's where I would go. They're supercharged. And let me just show.
How about a Nissan hard body? Those are pretty cool too.
Very cool, but it's hard to find one.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I would go second gen F-150 Lightning.
Fair, yeah. Also rear wheel drive.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of that, Ford is kind of bringing the spirit of those back with the Ford Maverick Lobo, which we did a video on from the LA Auto Show, and maybe now these slammed. Performance trucks are coming back.
Yeah.
Did you know the Lobo actually has one less gear?
Yeah.
It's got a 7-speed versus
But not physically. Eight. It's just software limited.
Does it really just skips one gear?
It skips it.
So it accelerates faster because it doesn't have to go through as many gears.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But here, there's a reason why we didn't buy one. It's not a hybrid.
No.
You have to buy the 2-liter turbo.
Yeah, it's not a good truck for Colorado. It's a good truck for California.
Yeah, I think Nathan could consider one.
How much do these things start at? They're expensive.
35-ish.
It's not horrible.
And there's like two versions of it, 35 version and the $40,000 version. So they're getting up there.
I'd be curious to see how they sell, if they actually do sell. I'm hoping they sell because that would hopefully usher in a new era of performance trucks, which I think would be really badass.
So please check out our drag race. We had a lot of fun. Tommy was there. Mary did a lot of work. She was filming. Zach was helping out. We kind of had the skeleton crew, right? Because there wasn't a lot of us.
It's the holidays.
It's the holiday season. You were trying to purchase another used vehicle. You were doing something else.
Can I tell you about that experience?
Yeah, can you tell me?
Yeah, so we're in the market for a police truck. Remember, we had that police car for a while. We had
Dodge Charger,
V8 Hemi, the last generation, and it was all-wheel drive, so you can't get the Hemi and the all-wheel drive unless you get a police charger. Mm-hmm. You can get a six-cylinder, but you can get the Pentastar, but you can't get the Hemi. And so I thought it'd be cool. We did really well with that vehicle. It was fun. You guys liked them. And I thought, why don't we go and get a police truck? Not a car, a truck. And there was this really nice Tahoe for sale on Facebook Marketplace. It looked super clean. And the price was right. It had 150,000 miles, which for a police vehicle isn't horrible. And so I'm like, okay, I'll go look at it. And usually when I go look at a car, chances are I'm going to buy it. By the time I go look at it, I've done my research.
This was almost like an hour away.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This is not close.
No. And I've usually done my research, and I always like to speak with the owner. I'm never going to just text somebody and show up at their house. That seems like a good way to get, you know what. So the guy seemed really nice. He seemed to know. He actually buys police vehicles at the auctions, and then what I thought was he refurbishes them. It turns out it's more of a spit and shine kind of deal, and I'm not going to name
it. Because
he
didn't come back with it.
No, and the reason I didn't come back with it was, and this is a good lesson for all of you guys who are selling vehicles. So the pictures look great, and he had a lot of pictures, right? a lot
so
of
something
pictures.
Like this. You were looking for an older Tahoe.
Yeah. And it had
not the, exactly this.
No. But it had the bull bar in the front, right, which is cool.
It was four-wheel drive, had a hitch.
Yeah.
Brake controller,
everything that we need for our videos. And so I show up, and I'm there less than 1 second. And Ian's like, whoa, you noticed that right away. And let me show you something. I'm looking at the front panel right there, right by the passenger side headlight.
Uh-huh.
Right there above the wheel, there was the size of a softball. There was a softball-sized piece of metal that had no paint on it. And it wasn't like round. It was basically rusting. And you could take your finger and you could just plop parts of the paint. I didn't do it, but you could have done it. You could have just taken your fingernail and just pull paint off of it. And the one thing we'll never buy is a car with body damage, because as much as like it's expensive to fix mechanical things, body damage, oh my gosh, unless you know how to do it yourself, so crazy expensive. And then of course, from filming perspective, we can't use that because it's like a giant blemish on this car. And so we'd have to get it fixed. So the first thing I don't want to do after buying a car is to go and fix it. But the point I was trying to make is, the second I saw—
But it wasn't in the pictures.
It wasn't in the pictures. And you know, I asked him a bunch of questions, and I always ask, you know, does everything work? And I'll usually take their word that they're being honest. You know, has the car been in any accidents? And then I follow up with running a Carfax just to make sure that it hasn't been in any car accidents. But when you don't put the biggest fault of the car in the picture, then everything you've told me is just out the window. Because right now, if you're lying about that in the pictures, right? If there's a problem, and I think you can see it, and it's changing in like Cars and Bids or Bring a Trailer, right? You'll always see a picture of there's a scratch, right? But this thing wasn't a little problem. This was, like I said, baseball-sized part of the fender that had no paint on it.
Mm-hmm.
And so after that, I didn't trust the guy.
Well, you could have swapped the fender, but it could have been a sign of something deeper, right?
I didn't care. The second he didn't put it in the pictures and he didn't show it, I lost all trust in the man, and I was like, I'm out of here. I'm tapping out of this. So if there is a problem, just be honest about it. And that way we can address it. And I won't waste his time. He had to sit around.
Or your time.
Or my time driving an hour away to go look at the thing.
Yeah. And also, like, rust is a terrible thing, right? You know, you could replace a fender, but if you look underneath, maybe the part of the frame is rusty, or maybe some other problems. Like, you know, it just could snowball into something huge.
And Andre, do you really want to buy a car and then immediately have to fix it?
No, because we need to film. That's our thing.
Exactly.
We're filming.
So anyway, so if you guys know we're looking, we'd like a Tahoe, or I don't want the Explorer. Those are boring, I think. Right? They're not that cool.
A big boy SUV.
A big boy. Expedition would be cool. A police
Expedition. Or Tahoe.
The Ford F-150.
What about like a Durango? I mean, they made Durango.
Durango would be cool.
Yeah.
The Ford F-150 police trucks, those are cool, but they're expensive.
Uh-huh.
You know, they're not cheap.
Because I think they're newer still.
Yeah. Those are the most expensive of all of them. So maybe next year we'll get ourselves a police truck and have some fun with it. But it was very disappointing. So probably a good thing, because we need to spend some money on that Maverick.
And also police vehicles, as we know, you know, from buying the Dodge Charger and looking at those, there usually are in accidents. You know, because there's car chase and stuff like that. You know, maybe they're pushing another car, or maybe a car is pushing them. So you know, they have a hard life.
You know, somebody tried to steal that Charger out in front of my house. Did I tell you that story?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I remember this.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I remember this. You had a camera on your house that was monitoring your driveway.
Yep.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy. And what happened was, my wife has a camera on the driveway, and she saw the guy trying to, I guess those things are super easy.
Oh, you weren't home or something.
I wasn't home. I guess those things are super easy to steal.
Yeah,
so she was watching TV, and all of a sudden she gets an alert on our camera system that somebody's in, some guy had driven by, and this kid was already in the car. He had actually managed to open the car, and I guess you can steal the code pretty simply, pretty easy to like use a computer to like unlock the code. And because the camera was talking, she said, "I'm calling the police," and then the kid ran away. But it was right in front of our house on a busy street, and it was a little scary that, you know, somebody not only
and it had a black and white color.
Yeah, not only
it was obviously a police car.
Yeah, not only was it in front of my house lit up because I have lights on my driveway on a busy street, but it was a police car, and they still try to steal it.
Yeah.
So I had that lock on it. That's why the kid couldn't start it.
Yeah, there's a special police thing.
There's a little button that, that's hidden back there. And if you enable it, unless you disenable it, you can't start the car. And so I think that's what prevented him from actually stealing it. Because he was pretty much into it. He was sitting in the thing when she actually, mm-hmm. you know, noticed it. So that was weird that somebody would try to steal a cop car from in front of my house. Ballsy criminals.
It is crazy.
All right. One other thing I want to talk to you about before we get over to the towing with our 25 Silverado HD. So last podcast, we had this discussion, dare I say argument, Andre.
We did argue.
Yeah, about what engine was going to power the new Ram Charger, which is the extended range
15. Which generator engine?
Yeah, and I said it might be the 2-liter turbo, and you said it's going to be the Pentastar.
Something bigger.
Or a Hemi.
I thought it maybe even something bigger.
Yeah, and then I said, well, it would make more sense. And then our friend Sam at the Wheel Bearings podcast, who's an engineer, actually listened to our podcast, and he made a good point. He said, so I stand corrected. He said that the Pentastar would be a good choice because you can pull off a lot of the stuff that you don't need, right? It's just working as a generator, so you don't need like air conditioning. You don't need an alternator, right? You don't need a lot of this stuff that
pure generating electricity.
Yeah.
Just one function.
Plus, it's inexpensive. They've been building it forever. Whereas with the turbo, you still need the turbo. You still need the intercoolers. You need all that. So I stand corrected. I think Sam made a really good point that the Pentastar will be the powertrain.
We bet a T, remember? Let's not bet this yet because we haven't seen the truck in person.
True that.
Let's save that. But I really appreciate Sam's input.
Yeah, thanks, Sam.
I mean, Sam has been in the business for way longer than me. I don't know. I mean, many, many. Actually, he was an engineer, then started working in other areas of the industry. So yeah, I really appreciate his input.
But I never, I was stupid. I didn't realize that you could pull all that stuff off the engine. And then, go ahead.
Well, it's not just that. I mean, it's space too. I mean, the Ram Charger has no frunk because the entire space underneath the front of it is still an engine.
Yeah.
Right?
So yeah.
I mean, there's multiple things happening here.
Well, it's probably one of the trucks that I'm most excited to learn about
in the new year
and hopefully drive next year. Yeah, I'm super excited. So let's talk about your first tow, let's say heavy tow, with that gooseneck trailer on our new Duramax. Tell me all about it. What did you guys do?
Well, our Duramax turned over 1,000 miles, and I knew it was time, right? It was broken in. We've driven it on the Denver 100 and everything like that. And so I called our buddy, Mr. Truck, Kent Sundling.
Hey, Kent.
Hey, Kent, if you're listening or watching. And I said, Kent, we got to – I really wanted to do an Ike. But we were really stopped by the weather and the fact this was like a day after Christmas.
Yeah, we've had no snow in Colorado, and then all of a sudden we've had all the snow.
Well, but the mountains are affected by snow in a greater way, right, than we're Boulder.
Doing a towing test, Andre, in the snow is not only going to invalidate the test, but it's going to be very dangerous.
Also, with traffic, because it's holiday traffic too.
Yeah.
So we're like, all right, what should we do? Because I really wanted to test the new WaySafe hitch. They have a gooseneck ball with a gauge that's built into it, right? So the hardest thing about gooseneck and fifth-wheel trailers is it's really hard to estimate weight, right? Because they're so big and there's leverage involved. And, you don't want to overload the truck or underload the truck. So you have to be quite precise. So you have to go to the truck scales. But that hitch really helps and saves a lot of time because you can estimate it and, you can dial it in right there.
How much will the truck tow? What's the maximum towing on
that? So the maximum gooseneck towing is 19,100.
Wow.
So
almost 20,000.
It's a 3/4 ton.
Yeah.
So
Single rear wheel.
It's a 2,500, obviously. It's a trail bus, which is a new trim, right? We've never towed with a heavy-duty trail bus before. So all those things combined, we had to do it. And I'm showing a picture here in the studio where we're with the big boys.
Big rig. Yeah.
So look at that cow catcher on that big rig.
So how much did you tow?
We were pulling about 17,500, almost 18,000 pounds.
And how did it tow?
Well, so first of all, the powertrain is amazing. So that Duramax, the 6.6, by the way, this is full stock. We don't do modifications to, powertrain modifications to the vehicles we test. The engine is very strong. The 10-speed automatic is very good. At least it was in this test. We had one issue.
Tell me.
The issue was, do you see the rear end? It's squatting quite a bit.
Yeah, maybe it's because it's an off-road truck.
Well, yes and no. I mean, we had maximum payload on it.
So how much weight did you have? With the WaySafe hitch, you can tell how much weight you had, right?
Yeah.
So you can move the load forward and backwards.
Exactly. So we were towing an excavator and a skid loader on this giant trailer. And really, we had, according to the WaySafe, we had about 2,500 pounds on the ball.
That's a lot.
So 2,500 pounds.
What's the payload?
3,100.
So you were getting close to me.
But Kent and I, you know, we're not very lightweight people, you know.
Kent's lost weight.
He's lost a ton of weight. I'm not losing any weight. I mean, I'm still picking up weight.
Picked up holiday weight. I'm with you, Andre.
So we were maxing out the payload, and the ride was a little harsh because we compressed the rear suspension almost all the way. And on some bumps, it was a bump stop.
Mm-hmm.
So it wasn't super comfortable. But we had to do it. We were towing really, really heavy. So we were able to dial it in. And the efficiency, you have to watch the video.
Yep.
Because we measured efficiency. We went 120 miles. It was a long day. Long day of towing.
Yeah, thanks to our friend Alan who lent us the gooseneck trailer. How much did that?
Denver East Machinery
Company. If you guys need some heavy machinery.
Or construction machinery.
Or construction. He not only gets some of the best stuff in the business, but he sells it at reasonable prices. So.
And he rents stuff out.
Yeah, he rents it as well. Denver East Machinery Company, Alan, great fan of the show, great friend of mine, great friend of Andre, super great guy. So highly recommended if you need something, you know, for temporarily or longer term.
Exactly.
Definitely check him out.
He's got a lot of equipment options there.
Would you say, and this is a hard question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. As you know, we're saying goodbye to our Ram 2500 Cummins.
Exactly.
So,
because this Chevy is replacing it.
Yeah. And that's going away very soon. So would you say that the Ram tows better? And there is a new Ram coming, by the way, new heavy duty. Or does the Silverado tow better? Which would you say?
Well, I didn't pull the same trailer with both.
It's hard, yeah.
So it's hard. I would say.
And it's been a long time since we pulled.
I enjoyed – so there's pluses and minuses in both. Let me just tell you the pluses on the Chevy. Lots of power. I felt like I had a passing power. You know, I was on the highway. I could pass a slow car. I didn't feel, you know, underpowered in any way. But on the way down, you know, there's a little section in South Denver where you're on 470 and you're going downhill.
Beautiful views.
Beautiful views. But it – it was doing well, slowing me down, but I couldn't hear the exhaust brake.
Really? In the Ram,
and
it's really loud.
And it's in the Ram, you can actually hear it, and I feel better about it. I feel like it's working, right? And in the Chevy, there's no gauges for the exhaust brake. There's no turbocharger gauge. There's not a lot of information telling me exactly what's happening in the Chevy. In the Ram, it works like clockwork, but not as much power. Mm. You know, if I was towing this with the Ram Cummins, at least ours, you know, the older one, I think I would have been less comfortable, you know, as far as speed-wise, passing power-wise. But the Ram does really better slowing you down, giving you feedback, showing you what the exhaust brake is doing. Ram is better at that.
And speaking of Cummins, heavy duties, not this week, but next week, we're going to have some news, aren't we, Andre?
Yes. So stay tuned. So within a few days, actually.
Yeah, from when this publishes.
Please either go to tfltruck.com or oldtfl.com. We have all the official data, numbers, images, video. I was there in person. I walked around.
You got hands-on.
I went hands-on with the new Cummins. I touched it. I smelled the oil. I did all the things.
Did it smell like oil?
I didn't smell the oil.
Okay. I figured.
I smelled the hurricane oil, but not this one.
So I can't wait to see your video from that. And of course, one of the reasons we bought the Silverado is so that when the new Ram comes out, we can compare them.
Yeah, exactly.
And if we had bought the Ram, it would be hard to compare them.
And also, Ram is not available.
Yeah, it's not available.
I mean, we need it. This is a business, right? Yeah. You know, we need to turn them over.
And then I can't wait to compare it to the Super Duty as well. Whenever there's a new heavy-duty truck, it's an exciting time at the old TFL headquarters, because then we gear up for doing some pretty heavy Ike gauntlets.
Yeah. So overall, the Chevy did quite well. You will see the efficiency we got if you watch the video right there.
All right. Let's keep going, Andre. We've got a packed show today.
Yes.
Now, on New Year's Day, you have released the second part of the Buhanka video.
Yes.
First one got much love. People were happy to see David back on the channel. I was excited to see him back. The man is just a magician when it comes to fabrication and getting stuff done. So for those of you who haven't watched part two, tell me about part two.
Part one and part two.
Well, part one was you basically, it ended up with you lifting the body off your
Buhanka. And we showed how the engine fit.
Yes.
But we still knew there was a long way to go, right? Even though the body may fit on the new engine. So we're basically putting an LS Chevy 4.8 liter with a four-speed automatic inside of this, you know, old Soviet Russian bread loaf or Buhanka van. And
why are you doing that?
For fun.
Because the old Buhanka was slow as you know what.
Yeah. So the old Buhanka was slow. It didn't have a high top speed. It had fuel problems. It had emissions problems. We're trying to solve all those problems and also learn about engine swapping.
Here's what makes it tricky. I got to sit in the engine swap Buhanka, and the engine swap Buhanka has the V8 now between the driver and the passenger.
Yes.
Like those old Scooby-Doo vans.
Exactly.
As opposed to having it in front of the driver and passenger, which made for a lot of tricky situations because now you have to send the gear forward instead of backward from the engine, the gear lever, right? Everything is backwards.
The transfer case is backwards. The transmission cable is backwards because everything is behind you, basically.
So you need a magician like David, and you need somebody like Andre who can figure this out.
So, yeah, and David did his magic, definitely. Also, in the second episode, he surprised me several times. He built two beautiful bumpers. We installed, it was his idea, and I think it was a great one. We put Toyota Celica seats into the van because we needed low profile, kind of compact seats, and we figured a two-door coupe would work, and the Celica seat actually fit beautifully into it.
For all you Brits, that's Celica.
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 Okay. This was like a 30-year-old Toyota coupe. Then it took a long time to get it running, you know, to plumb the fuel, get all the sensors, get all the electricals done.
Well, you have to, I mean, it's new enough that the transmission and the engine have to talk to each other, right?
Yeah, well, actually, the transmission is old enough
that it doesn't have to talk
where,
to the engine.
To where there is no computer.
Okay, well, that's good. Never mind.
Because we didn't have enough money. This was, I funded it. David funded it with his time and his ingenuity. Our families helped us. This was our project. We weren't sponsored by, you know, giant corporations or anything like that. So this was our money and our time. That's what happened.
So does your wife know how much money you spent on this?
She watched the first episode.
Oh, good. Okay.
Right. She hasn't seen the second episode yet.
That's where you gold-plated the Celica seats, huh?
You know what? It's funny you say that. It's because we were talking about heat insulation because that engine is hot.
Yeah.
And you're sitting on top of a V8.
Yes, you are.
And I told David, I said, David, you know what's the best insulation?
Gold?
It's gold.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that. There's something cool when you've got the engine right there next to you. It's a little scary, but it's really cool because you've got these explosions happening, you know, where you're resting your right or left elbow.
Your elbow, yeah. And
depending on if you're driving or passengering.
Yeah.
And there's something really, really cool about that.
You're one with the machine.
Yeah.
You're kind of one with it.
So I don't want to...
And we took it for a drive.
Yeah, I don't want to spoil the ending, but there were some complications. It didn't work 100% out of the box,
no,
did it?
No, and it's still not perfect. Mm. And as any project, I think you know.
It
may take forever.
But the good news is you're actually going to be showing it at this year's Overland Expo in Santa Fe.
No, Flagstaff.
Flagstaff, sorry, Flagstaff, yeah.
Flagstaff, Arizona. So we're still ironing out some details.
Okay.
So I don't want to, you know, just...
Promise something and not
promise everything in the world right now. But really the hope is that you'll be... If you are in Flagstaff in May for the Overland show, you may see a bread loaf fan right there.
Cool. And Andre with it.
Yes.
Yeah. So...
And I hope David... Maybe I can bring David with me.
I'm hoping.
Sure.
I'm
hoping. People love to meet him.
Because you saw a glimpse of his project, right?
I think David would love the Overland Expo. Has he been to one yet?
I don't think so.
Even the one here in Colorado?
Oh, actually, no. I think he may have been to a Colorado one.
This seems right up his alley.
But, you know, Flagstaff is special. It's in this, like, Pinewood Forest.
It's the first, isn't it?
It's the first one of the year. Yeah. It's the first one of the year. It's a very special location. It's been there for many, many years. And so I think I'll invite David for sure.
Okay. If you guys haven't watched that video, head on over to AltFL and check it out, because Andre certainly poured his heart into the video.
And my bank account.
And your bank account into it.
Yeah, I did.
And it shows off David's skills like you wouldn't believe. Speaking of something you wouldn't believe, we have the Silverado EV, the LT version of it. We had the...
A new trim.
Yeah, a new trim. So this is kind of the mid-grade, right? It's not the work truck. It's not the RST. It's the one in the middle. It's still expensive, $70-some thousand dollars, as tested, $84,000. But the one we have has the mid-gate. And we just got back from doing a video showing how the mid-gate worked. It's because Tommy's doing some work up at the ranch. We need to get some 4x8
Sheets of plywood
and bring it up there. And everybody was like, you really don't need this mid-gate. But we also bought insulation, also 4x8 sheets, which is light. And it was super windy. And tell them how this went.
So, you know, it's really easy because for me to think about it, because I've been to auto shows and events where we saw the mid-gate work, right? We folded it down.
Yeah, people say it's a gimmick.
Yeah, but this is where the wood hit the road. I'm sorry. The tires hit the road.
The wood hit the bed.
Yeah. The wood really hit the bed on this one. So we were actually doing real world stuff, which is what we love doing, right?
Yeah. So here's
real world stuff.
Here's the problem on a typical full size truck bed. We also had a Raptor to compare with it.
Yeah.
When you put the wood, the 4x8 wood, it hangs out over the tailgate.
Yeah. So now you have to have straps. Your tailgate is down. And you have to strap it down so it doesn't fly out.
Or I guess you could put the tailgate up, but then the wood is sitting on top of the tailgate.
At an angle.
At an angle.
Yeah. Plus, that could be bad because if you have a lot of it, that's a lot of weight hanging on your tailgate.
Yeah, or on the wood.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
But tell them how the mid-gate works. So the mid-gate is where, you know, the bed ends and the cab begins.
Yeah, and basically like an old Avalanche truck. You know, the old Chevy Avalanches had this very similar feature. You basically, it's a 60-40 split, so you could put both of them down or one half or the other. We had to put both halves down because we're carrying 4 feet wide sheets. And there's actually a place where it kind of demarcates 8-foot mark. So you can move the material all the way in with the mid-gate folded down so it protrudes into the cabin. And then you can close the tailgate and have it secure. But there's more.
What's more?
You can leave the glass there. So we left the glass intact. We didn't fold down the glass. And we had a tonneau cover, which is a soft roll-up cover. So we're actually kind of in a fully enclosed cabin.
But you said it made a lot of noise when you were driving.
So we learned something, which is the soft tonneau was vibrating in the wind, and you could hear it very loudly inside.
Because now the separation between the bed
is gone.
Is gone, yeah.
Yeah.
And you didn't have to actually like remove the window, right?
The window stayed.
In the mid-gate. You just created a little opening and then the wood just slides in perfectly.
Yeah it does.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
And you can close the tailgate. And you were following me with Alex.
Yes. I was driving the chase truck.
Yeah. And Alex said something really interesting too. The truck looks normal with that load. There's nothing hanging out. There's nothing poking out over the bed or inside the bed. Yeah, or
nobody would guess that there's plywood back there.
Yeah.
And so if you had tools back there or other stuff, I guess they could look in the window and see it poking into the cab.
Sure, but just going by you wouldn't know.
Yeah, it's kind of a security thing.
So you could carry 4x8 sheets of gold, for example. Right?
I don't think they make gold in 4x8 sheets. That would certainly be interesting. Not a brick of gold, a plywood of gold. So is it a gimmick or is it useful?
I think it's useful, but I would recommend if you ever do this, get a hard tonneau.
Mm.
Like a folding, like a tri-folding cover or a roll-up cover, something aluminum, because this thing was vibrating like mad. And it was very unpleasant.
So our chase truck is the Raptor R, which Ford lent us. And you said something interesting, Andre. You told me that Raptor Rs are still selling above sticker. That's hard to believe. Wow.
Yeah. Even to this day, I mean, it's a year into that truck. It's been refreshed, right? It has a new face.
Actually, we owned one for quite a while. I forgot how much I love that truck. And then I forgot why I was happy to sell it. So I'll give you the two moments of my Raptor R ownership. First, when we got it back, I got into it and I really missed it. Not as much as the TRX, because the TRX has more supercharger whine and I think even more exhaust note. So you get this incredible, and then you get the incredible V8.
Yes.
From that 5.2 GT500 V8 that Ford puts into it. I was like, there was a BMW that tried to pass me, and then I went in the tunnel and I put it in Baja mode, and I just like floored it, and the whole tunnel exploded with what I consider glorious noise. I'm sure the other people thought I was being douchey, but it was wonderful. Really enjoyed it. And then I had to go fill it up, Andre. 36 gallon fuel tank, $3.30 a gallon gas. I had to fill it up, $80 to put 3/4 of a gas tank. And that's when premium gas is at the cheapest it's been forever.
In some years,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and then I started feeling just kind of guilty about it. I'm like, dang, that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of gas this thing is drinking. And I guess the comeback would be if you can afford
That's my comeback, 114.
Yeah, you could probably afford to fill it up with gas.
But it's not just 114, Roman. I'm looking at some listings online nationwide. Here's the used Raptor R 2024 with 2,000 miles, $131,000. This is just asking prices. Several of them are like $127,000 with 7,000 miles. I mean, these are still quite desirable. I mean, these trucks.
So will this be the Dodge SRT 10 of the future?
Probably.
Yeah, and it's all-wheel drive, and it's got
active suspension. Here's another one, $133,000. So they're asking a lot of money for these trucks.
And they're probably getting a lot of money.
They're probably getting them.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. So Ford has done a good job of balancing supply and demand so that people still lust after them and are still willing to pay, which means that the price is just going to go up. Because if they're still selling over, Porsche did that with the 911. You could not that long ago get a 911, and I know these two are very different worlds, but they are colliding here, Andre. They're colliding. You could get a 911 for under $100,000. No way.
Not anymore.
No.
Not even the base car.
Maverick, 19, nothing. Now 26, right?
Yes.
$6,000 more in less than what, 2 years?
Less than 2 years.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Or maybe just over 2 years.
Yeah. Hey, last thing before we wrap this up. The outgoing administration is much hated. And the incoming administration, Mr. Trump, President Trump, says that he's going to put tariffs on all the imports. And when I was thinking about that, he said 25% tariffs, right?
Yes.
I thought that he was just going to tax the trucks, but those tariffs would go on parts as well. So it would affect everything because most vehicles aren't just made in America. They have parts from around the world, even if they are made in America, right?
A lot of parts are made in Mexico, for example.
Or transmissions. Or vehicles. Are made in Europe.
Yeah. Yes.
So if that drives up the cost of trucks and cars by 25%, will the same thing happen with used vehicles?
Probably. I mean, it'll take some time to kind of, react to each other, but probably.
All right, well, let's...
Because people won't be able to afford new vehicles because they're 25 more expensive, so they're going to look for used vehicles, and that'll drive the used values up.
So let's go buy that Maverick now while getting good.
We'll see you later.
We'll see you guys.
We'll see you later.
And remember, check out alltfl.com if you want to see some of these videos. And next time you hear Andre and I, I'll be back from Japan probably, and you'll be back from Saudi Arabia.
Or maybe, yes.
Yeah, I don't know if we're going to.
I might be able to do a show from Saudi Arabia.
See if you can
do it. How about that?
I might be able to do one from Japan.
Yes.
Yeah. All right, there you go.
Nice.
All right, see you next time. Ciao.
Thank you.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.